Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth speaking for the Defensive Legion and the Christian Voters and Buyers League. The subject of this recording, disarming the United States and giving away our nuclear might to the Communist United Nations. When you learn of wholesale treason in government today, it isn't only the President or the Supreme Court who are guilty. The people only elect one man in the whole executive department, the President. They don't elect anybody in the federal judiciary. The guilty persons, therefore, are the members of Congress who confirm these traitors into office. For every member of Congress is elected by the people, state by state and district by district. Congress has full authority over every man in the executive and the judicial and can cut off the money for their every move. It can expel them from office, including the President. Tomorrow morning, Congress can take away all jurisdiction of the Supreme Court in education and religion. Overnight, it can stop race riots, killings, and communist-incited hatred between black and white Americans, leaving the state courts as the final appeal for the citizens of each state. It can bring back to the public schools our Christian God, Jesus of Bethlehem, to dwell with our children. Why hasn't it done so? Because Congress, too, has been bought and is traitor to that Constitution. And when that happens, we no longer have a constitutional republic. We have a police state, a welfare state, a communist state. We have Kennedy's treasonous civil rights bill. We have the subject of this recording, the greatest treason in American history, total disarmament of this nation to turn over our whole nuclear power to the Jewish communist-controlled United Nations. Our nuclear war machine cost the American people and unborn generations of Americans more than $1 trillion. $1 trillion is $1,000 billion, or rather it is $1,000,000,000. And we're giving it away in a booklet of the State Department, which you can buy for 15 cents. 1,000 miserable Americans who are traitor members of the World Banker Organization called the Council on Foreign Relations schemed up this whole arms giveaway, which spells death for America and for you and me, the American citizens. Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Eisenhower before him are members of this banker traitor organization. Congress set up the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, and Kennedy appointed the directors and 15 members of the advisory committee. The three top directors are CFR agents like Mr. Kennedy, and so is the majority, 9 out of 15 men on the advisory committee. The first act of this disarmament agency was to ask Congress to repeal the Connally Amendment. That amendment alone prevents the World Court of the UN from completely replacing and superseding our Supreme Court. We're told this is a perfectly safe move for us because the UN never intrudes in domestic matters. Of course, it never moved into Katanga in Africa, only long enough to bomb and kill 250,000 women and children with UN troops flown in American planes. It never gave Korea to the communists until we helped it to do so with Dean Rusk as the hatchet man. Brave Senator Joe McCarthy labeled it 20 years of treason, and it's now up to 30. This nuclear test ban is only a blind to lull Americans to sleep. It is to hide the treason taking place in disarmament of America. Senator Thomas Dodd of Connecticut told the Senate that we have been whittled down to 10% of the inspections and detections of nuclear explosions we originally demanded, from several hundred a year to 20, then to 12, then to 8, then to 7, and now it's down to 5. We once demanded 600 monitoring stations to detect nuclear explosions. That figure was whittled down from 180, and it's now down to an agreed 80. We once insisted that these monitoring stations be manned by Americans, then by people other than Russians, and we are now content to allow the Russians to do their own monitoring, and we'll take their word for it whether or not they are cheating. The generals and admirals of our military forces who don't denounce this program and threaten to resign in a body are contributors to the treason. Look at what this Kennedy and his masters have done in spite of a $50 billion defense budget, the largest in our history. One, silence the military, gag the admirals and generals to stop all protests, and make ready for capitulation to Jewish Soviet demands. 2. Killed all production of B-70 or RS-70 superbombers, limiting them to 3 transport cargo planes, useless as a weapon. 3. No more B-52 bombers, the backbone of the Strategic Air Command. 4. No more B-58 bombers. They are reconverted to a plane incapable of carrying the bomb. 5. Money to build the X-15 Dinosaur, the only plane in the world that can fly into orbit and re-enter the atmosphere man-flown, is reduced from 185 millions to 65 millions. 6. F-108 supersonic fighters were canceled out of production last year. 7. 5 of our 6 operational Polaris nuclear submarines have been given to NATO, a subsidiary of the Jew Communist UN. Thus we can train foreigners in nuclear sub warfare. 8. Building of the C-141 transport planes is canceled. Instead, we bought 75 swingtail planes from Canada, a plane already rejected by the U.S. Air Force. 9. Atomic warheads for the Nike missiles is now cut to 0. 10. Air Force research and development for 1963 is cut in half, a $2 billion cut. Within 3 years, we'll be at the complete mercy of the Kremlin. These statements are known proven facts, and they have been denounced by a few loyal members of Congress in both parties and by our finest retired admirals and generals who refuse to be muzzled. Why do we need a $50 billion defense budget this year when there's no defense? Because Kennedy's socialist economy is geared to defense spending, even though we dump the manufactured products in the ocean. Would to God we were doing so instead of giving them to the communist United Nations. Khrushchev told Walt Rostov to remove all first strike bases in Turkey and Italy. Kennedy obeyed him. Our 3 greatest offensive weapons are, or rather were, the B-70 superbomber, the Titan intercontinental ballistics missile, and the Skybolt missile we refused to build for England. Final decision in this disarmament sellout had to be made by the president. And without any experience and only a few months in office, Kennedy killed complete production on all 3 of these weapons. Hail to the chief! He carried out the will and wishes of world bankers in the CFR, whose slave he is. On September 25, 1961, Kennedy presented this whole disarmament package to the United Nations General Assembly. While disarming America, he pledged the further arming of the UN and the establishment of world law above our Constitution. That's the Constitution he swore to protect, preserve, and defend, so help him God. He recommended an increase in UN armed forces while he reduced our own and proceeded to muzzle the military, kicking out all who opposed him. Doesn't it all tie in with his treasonous speech at Independence Hall, Philadelphia, on the 4th of July, 1962, when he had his hand practically resting on the Liberty Bell? His plan was not for our continued independence to determine our own destiny. It was for interdependence among nations which, he said, we are ready for. Is that so? It was a complete surrender of our sovereignty to one world government. Kennedy is carrying out the defiance of that CFR Jewish banker, James Warburg of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, before Congress in 1950 when he said, "You will have world government whether you like it or not. It's only a matter of whether you accept it by conquest or consent." Get this treasonous pamphlet 7277, drawn up by the CFR, passed by Congress, and signed into law by Kennedy. Listen to this for high treason. Quote, "This program calls for the disbanding of all national armed forces and the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever other than those required to preserve internal order or for contributions to a United Nations peace force," unquote. What they meant to say was not peace force, but police force. Your sons will soon be wearing a UN uniform ordered all over the world by foreigners. Only the wrath of indignant patriots stopped the training of foreign UN troops on American soil in Georgia and the training of communist Tito's flyers in Texas. But that tough Marine General Del Valle of the Defenders of the American Constitution and Task Force exposed that communist Yugoslavian generals are still being trained and graduated at Fort Leavenworth. Will treason never cease? When Congress formed the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Kennedy proceeded to appoint the director and 15 men on the advisory committee. All three top directors and 9 of the 15 on the advisory committee are members of the Subversive Council on Foreign Relations, so declared by the American Legion of California, and Kennedy and Eisenhower are both members of it. The fate of every American is in the hands of CFR agent William C. Foster, disarmament dictator whom they call a director of the Allen Matheson Chemical Corporation. CFR banker agent Adrian Fisher is deputy dictator. He's a former law clerk of Felix Frankfurter, lawyer member of the Nuremberg hangings of honorable German soldiers, and chief counsel of the Washington Post, where he has his office, the scum newspaper of the nation's capital. CFR agent Henry Byrode is head of the disarmament advisory staff. A graduate of West Point and Red Cornell in engineering, this lad made it all the way from second lieutenant to brigadier general in 7 years. Some speed. It's as good as Eisenhower's. Chairman of the committee, and here he is again, CFR banker agent John J. McCloy, also chairman of the Chase Manhattan Bank, owned by the Rockefellers and Kuhn Loeb and Company, James Warburg's gang of traitors. McCloy is married to the Jewess Ellen Zinser. His wife's brother-in-law is Konrad Adenauer, stooge of the German bankers, the Rothschilds. CFR banker agent Roger Blau of U.S. Steel. This fella pretended to put up a big fight with Kennedy when he raised the price of steel, and he reportedly just came from a 2-hour session with old Joe Kennedy, the president's pop. CFR agent John Cowles of the Minneapolis Star-Tribune. That paid stooge will make the giveaway of our country palatable in Cowles' publications. CFR agent Robert Lovett, former Secretary of State and Defense. This lad is a partner of the banker gang of Brown Brothers and Harriman. Now do you see why Averill Harriman was chosen to take the nuclear test ban treaty over to Khrushchev? CFR banker stooge Ralph McGill, sports writer, editor of the Atlanta Constitution, the biggest traitor in the South and commonly known as Rastus McGill, a big wheel in such communist front organizations as the NAACP and the Southern Regional Council. CFR agent George Meade of the Communist Front AFL-CIO, a man who rates equally along with labor goons, CFR agents Walter Reuther and Dave Dubinsky of the Garment Workers Union. CFR agent Jim Perkins of the Carnegie Corporation, owner of the Carnegie Foundation to Destroy America, whose former president is the convicted perjurer and spy Alger Hiss. CFR agent Herman Flegger, a San Francisco lawyer, top advisor to the State Department, which put out this treasonous plan 7277. CFR agent Isidore Isaac Rabbi, professor of physics at Columbia. That gent was chief advisor to the Atomic Energy Commission under the two kosher lads, Lilienthal and Louis L. Strauss, or Strauss, who buried the hydrogen bomb for 2 years until the Russians had the blueprints. Agent Rabbi rushed to the defense of that other questionable kosher lad when his security card was lifted, Robert Oppenheimer. Isn't that a marvelous group of 9 of the 15 chosen to give away Christian America? And as always, there are Christians who will join, although they're small fry in the matter. Section 41D of the Disarmament Act allows the director to hire experts and consultants for $100 a day, plus expenses and stenographic services, plus transportation and a per diem while away from home. If it runs over 100 days a year, the president only has to declare it in the public interest. Will somebody please tell us what makes 2 scribblers like Ralph McGill and John Cowles experts on nuclear weapons? Or George Meany of the AFL-CIO Labor Union, or John J. McCloy, whose whole life has been banking? These people never had training in rockets or bombs or space satellites or even a BB gun. Why aren't the generals and admirals and a few captains who've been shooting these weapons on that board? It riles a loyal American to learn that taxpayers' money is spent for airplane tickets and swank hotels for disarmament conferences in Geneva, plus $100 a day spending money to help these traitors give away the military might of this nation to a bunch of nations in the United Nations, over one half of which don't have the brains or money to build a first-class rowboat. Dear Lord, how rotten is this American government? Sublime Washington, your immortal words were prophetic and heaven-inspired. Our betrayal, as you said, has come from within to overthrow this glorious nation you gave us at such heroic sacrifice. But these men we've named are only slaves, petty crooks in our betrayal to world socialism, world communism, world Jewism. The real traitors are not the bankers, the chief executive, and the judiciary, the arch traitors who could stop it all but who will not, the greatest Judas Iscariots in the betrayal of Christian America since he who betrayed our Lord, are the members of the Congress of the United States. They have only raised the ante from 30 pieces of silver. Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present on this recording a leader among our heroic military commanders who will not be muzzled. I have the honor to introduce to you now Lieutenant General P.A. Del Valle, United States Marine Corps retired, President of the Defenders of the American Constitution and editor of their two-fisted publication Task Force, a career man from his days at the Naval Academy. General Del Valle.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a speech by Wally Butterworth, which so interested me that I agreed to appear on the same tape record. I have not yet checked every statement made, nor am I in a position to do so. Therefore, my endorsement of what he has told you must be limited to that which I, in 30 years' experience with Red Subversion here and abroad, believe to be true. That is, substantially, the entire speech. Certainly, there are points which might somewhat moderate his forthright and courageous statements. For instance, while I agree that the Congress as a whole has utterly violated its oath to support and defend the Constitution, there are some very notable exceptions among the individuals who form the Congress, a devoted and courageous minority of both parties, who, at the risk of losing elections, have stoutly held the line as best they could against a venal majority. There may be other points upon which I, as President of the Defenders of the American Constitution, may deviate, but I believe that the picture so forcefully given in this speech admirably describes the situation. Substantially, this situation has come about through the contemptuous violation of the Constitution by agents and agencies of the federal government. Once we understand that the Constitution is a solemn contract made among sovereign, independent states brought into being by our Revolutionary War, and that this divinely inspired document made us the greatest nation in the world while we adhered to it, we may commence to understand the causes of our present dangerous predicament. For in this contract, the states created the federal agencies under Articles 1, 2, and 3, legislative, executive, and judiciary, all with limited powers given in the Constitution in writing, and each agency by its own powers limiting that of others. For instance, the executive can negotiate treaties, but he cannot make them effective until the Senate approves them. This system of checks and balances is poignantly illustrated in the present efforts of the executive to obtain senatorial approval of this so-called test ban treaty. This treaty, by the way, is only about one-third test ban and two-thirds blanket power to the executive to disarm the USA in the execution of State Department public document number 7277 and turn us into a mere province of the Soviet-controlled United Nations. These senators are looking into this treaty, but gagged and frightened military witnesses are reluctant to say what they know is true about it, while the venal press grinds out the brainwash that this is a good treaty. Since there is no authority in the Constitution for any agency of the federal government to give away our weapons, our sovereignty, and our independence as a nation, this treaty, like the infamous Civil Rights Bill of 1963 now before the Congress, is definitely in violation of the Constitution. You will find that the violation and disregard of the Constitution has, in the case of the states themselves, brought about an actual state of civil war between blacks and whites. The infamous Brown decision of the justices of the Supreme Court was as unconstitutional as murder. Therefore, it was not a decision of the court, but of the 9 old men who compose it. Nor is it the law of the land, as the propagandists so loudly proclaimed. For even if it were accepted as a decision of the court has no power under the Constitution to make laws. Legislation is limited to the Congress. Since only the parties to a contract have the power to overrule the unlawful actions of their agents, it is up to the state governments to make laws in their states, saying that this Brown decision is not the law within their state. Here again you see an illustration of how the Constitution protects the states and the citizens against power-hungry government agencies. For all the governors and their legislatures have to do is to make such laws, and this nightmare of civil rights will fall apart. However, there have as yet appeared no governors who are ready to carry out their constitutional oath of office in this respect. And this leads one to suspect that the money power which has control of our federal government has reached out and seized control of state governments as well. Federal handouts can be stopped, making the governor's position dangerous. The venal press can be put in action against any unruly governor, and this alone frightens and deters them. It is the old trick of the donkey, the stick and the carrot. The handouts are the carrot. The press campaign against them is the stick. I thank you very much for inviting me to speak on this record with you, Mr. Butterworth, and I thank our listeners for their attention. There is much food for thought in what we have said, and the first thing to do is to read the Constitution so you can defend it intelligently, for it is the only thing that stands between us and slavery. The best way to defend it is to vote out of office such men as are in violation of it, and vote into office men who will support it. Let your representatives and senators know how you feel about the 2 unconstitutional bills I have mentioned. That is a test of their loyalty to the USA and the Constitution. If they vote for the treaty or for the Civil Rights Bill, then you know they are definitely in the category described in the last of Mr. Butterworth's speech.
Thank you, General Delvalier, and thank you also for the kind things you have said about our recording. As you know, General, the other side of this recording deals with arming the American homes against black race riots, which have occurred in over 200 cities. Would you care to express ad lib an opinion on that, sir?
In my opinion, this is not a series of demonstrations, but a well-organized red revolution which intends violence against the whites of this country. And I do recommend that every householder should arm himself for the protection of his home and his family.
Thank you again very much, General P.A. Delvalier, United States Marine Corps, retired, and President of the Defenders of the American Constitution, Incorporated. Without any attempt to return a favor, we highly recommend General Delvalier's pamphlet Task Force and his alert bulletins on pending legislation in Congress to all of our members and friends. There are none better or more authentic. Now play the other side of this record again and resolve to join us in defending your homes against black hordes of revolution, communist-inspired. Until our recording next month, this is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.